wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see.
This is the Grace and Truth program. And now we continue these messages of the Holy Spirit of God to you through his bondservant, David Brinkman, and the song evangelist, Stan Carey.
If I had never been born, it is true that God has a purpose in the life of every one of us, and yet it is undeniable that the lives of many are a curse to their own relatives and neighbors. It is also true that some people find God's purpose in their lives and so live, while most people live so out of touch with their Maker. His purposes are frustrated, they are liabilities to society, and they're so miserable they wish they were dead, and if someone told them to go and jump into the river, they might not wonder at it at all. But to jump into the river would only make them eternally hopeless and their condition agonizing. A lost soul and a worthless life are the two greatest tragedies in human history, and yet they're so common today. Suppose you attended the funeral of a prominent citizen. The church house was crowded with relatives and friends. The preacher reads slowly his text. Woe unto that man! It had been good for that man if he had not been born. Mingled thoughts race through your mind. Is the preacher crazy? Does he know what he's saying? You first think of the man in the casket and what made his life such a failure, but soon you forget the dead man and think of the living man in your shoes. This is the purpose of my message to you today. No preacher can preach to the corpse in the casket, but to the people in the seats. My Bible text is Matthew 26:24. The fearless preacher was our Lord Jesus Christ. He was not preaching a funeral sermon, but he was giving a face-to-face warning to that man when he was only a few hours from a tragic death at the end of a wasted life. Looking him in the face, our Lord spoke of him in these sad words, "Woe to that man! It had been good for that man if he had not been born." But as people of our day go from a solemn funeral to return to their sinful lives, so that man went right on to his awful end. The next day found him so disgusted with life, he hung himself on a high tree, and as they cut it down, his body burst apart, while his soul went to the agonizing flames of hellfire. What an end! Truly it had been good for that man if he had not been born. Who was that man? Poor fellow, he couldn't have had a chance in life. Likely underprivileged. No, instead, he had the greatest privilege ever offered a man. He had been educated at the feet of the greatest teacher of all human history for 3 years. He heard his words, he saw his mighty miracles, he observed his tender compassion, and witnessed his divine power. If education could make a man's life happy and useful, he had it. If knowledge were a panacea for man's ills, he possessed it. If good environment could change a man's heart, then his heart should have been as an angel's. But with all this man's education and perfect environment, he himself was wicked at heart and miserable in his life. But that man is dead. I will speak to that living man that I can reach through your ears, right? Tell me, you may have a college education, but are you happy? Your broad knowledge may even include religion, but have you peace with God? You may have been reared in a Christian home, a Bible Sunday school, and have joined a growing church, but still the plague of sin grips your heart and blights your life. Education, knowledge, and environment cannot change the life, for they fail to change the heart. They may polish the exterior and make it easier to pretend to be what one is not. But that only makes the need the greater and the existence the more miserable. If a man pretends to be single when he's married, another plays rich when he's broke, while others plead innocent when he's guilty, all such know that the truth will come out, and they live in dread and misery. The man of whom our Lord said it had been good for that man if he had not been born, he too played the hypocrite. This Judas Iscariot played the hypocrite so well, not one of the disciples detected his pretension. His religious education made it easy for him to pretend. Hundreds of preachers today have never been converted to God themselves, but their religious education enables them to pretend to be ministers of Christ when they are not, for they cunningly deny His divine glories. Such men are utterly miserable within, for the Lord knoweth them that are His, and they cannot deceive the one who knows the hearts of all men. Even were they able to deceive others all their religious life, yet they dread their meeting with death. That is why so many preachers go to shows and dances and the mirth of the world. It is to try and forget their inward misery. And when such pretenders, whether a polished preacher, a card-playing Sunday school teacher, or a double-life deacon, when such face death, they will wish they had never been born. Will you? Let us all be honest, be sincere, and cast off all hypocrisy and pretension before it will be torn off by death. Judas Iscariot was also covetous. He wanted money. He never had much of it, but he so longed after it, he grasped for it even at the cost of innocent blood. And when he got his love money, instead of it giving him joy and satisfaction, it only added to his inward misery. Neighbor, don't set your heart on riches. They cannot purchase happiness here, nor pay for a seat in heaven hereafter. Neighbor, hear my message. You may have religion, prestige, popularity, and riches, and all that you set your heart upon, and yet you go into a long eternity lost, lost forever, and you yourself wishing you had never been born. All that riches can buy may be lavished on your casket. All the beauty of flowers fill the room, and all the flattery remarks pour from the preacher's mouth. But that still small voice will be heard. It had been good for that man if he had not been born. Why did the Son of God use these words? It was because that when one is born into this world, then that one must exist for all eternity. He is born an eternal being, and his conscious existence shall never end. So to jump into the river would not end at all. He must live on and on, as long as God lives, even though it be in the bitter anguish of hellfire. He would wish for death, but he cannot die, nor can he annihilate himself. Hear me, neighbor, if you live your life and die your death without the Lord Jesus, it would have been good if you had never been born. No matter how rich you are or anything else, all is lost, eternal loss. And if you never believe these words of the Lord Jesus to be true before, you will when you face death without Christ, and when your Christless life ends in hellfire, and when you stand before God in judgment, and when you are cast for all eternity into that lake of fire, then you will wail, "I wish I had never been born." We have 5 children. We have endeavored to bring them up in the fear of the Lord. But parental training does not change their hearts nor save their souls. And if, may God grant it shall never be, if one of those children should live and die without Christ, I would have to take my wife's hand by the side of that casket and with bowed head and trembling voice confess that it had been good if our child had not been born. If there had been no Savior, it had been good if man had never been created. If there were no Lord Jesus Christ to redeem us, it had been good if this old world had been left in its chaotic state. Maybe you say, "I never heard such a doleful, gloomy sermon." You may thus label my sermon, but that does not remove the solemn fact that if you live your life and die your death without Christ, it had been good if you had never been born. Face it, neighbor, and do something about it. If you ask, "What can I do?" You cannot undo your birth. You have been born, and eternity lies before you. You cannot annihilate yourself. You are indestructible. Your soul is deathless, and even your dead body will rise from its grave. These are the solemn facts, the bitter harvest of sin. Having told you what you cannot do about it, I will also tell you that which will do you no good were you to do it. You may turn over a new leaf and try to do better, but God requires that which is past. Your past sins cannot be removed by your present resolutions. Or you may do a lot of religious works and go through years of religious self-punishment. You could bury yourself in a religious convent or monastery for the rest of your life, and then die in your sins with only a lost soul and a wasted life. Scores of such things you might try, but they would avail nothing with God or in your own soul. Neighbor, this dark and hopeless picture can all change in a moment by just one person coming into your life. He will turn your night to day, your misery to joy. He will take your burdens and give you his rest. He will remove the cloud and dread of the future and make eternity a welcome joy, and every day of your life sweeter than the day before. Who could do all this for you? His name is Jesus. He saw us in our ruin and misery, and down from heaven he came to save us. He is God, our Creator, and yet, when we turned away from him in our folly and brought such distresses upon ourselves by our sin, in love and pity he looked down from heaven and said, I will go down and deliver them. It cost him his reputation. He became man, became a servant. It cost him his life. Yet he gave himself his own precious blood to put our sins away and to make our salvation sure. He arose out of death and went back to heaven, where he lives and reigns as Lord of all, crowned with glory and honor by God. This is the story of redeeming grace. He is the Savior you need. Live and die without him, and it had been good if you had never been born. But if you will take him into your heart to be your Savior, trusting yourself to him, and turn your life over to him to be your Lord, then all will change. The sun of a new day will rise over you. The joy of a new life will burst forth like a springing well within you, for you will have become a Christian, one who belongs to Christ, being made a child of God by being born again by the Spirit of God. Yes, the very moment you receive the Lord Jesus into your heart and life, that moment your sins will all be forgiven, and their guilt will leave you forever. You will be saved. You will have a new life, an everlasting life. But best of all, you can cry, I have Christ. What want I more? If you do not know how to receive the Lord Jesus Christ, let me help you. Get down on your knees and tell him, Lord Jesus Christ, I'm a miserable sinner, yet thou hast died to save me. I thank thee, Lord Jesus. I need thee to be my Lord and my Savior. Come into my heart and change my life for thy glory. Lord Jesus, amen. And he will, and you will know he has. Neighbor, hear my message. Life without Jesus is worthless, and death without Jesus is hopeless. And if you so live and die, it's been good if you had not been born. But if you have the Lord Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you will thank God that you were born. And when your days end here, many will arise and thank God that you were born for what God made you to them. It is Jesus Christ, the blessed Lord Jesus Christ, who makes all the difference. Now if I could speak but 6 words in every language and to all the world around, I would say to one and all, you need the Lord Jesus Christ. They're my 6 words. You need the Lord Jesus Christ. If you make Christ your choice today, you'll never regret it. People live to regret their education, their vocation, their friendships, and even their marriage. But you can search the world over, and you'll not find even one man, woman, or youth who turned to Christ and ever lived to regret it. To choose Christ will leave no regrets, but will fill your heart with an eternal song. Oh, happy day that fixed my choice on thee, my Savior and my God. I can speak to you from my own personal experience. Once I was a sinful lad, embarked on a life that would be worthless to myself and a pain and liability to my relatives and neighbors. Truly, it would have been good if I had never been born. But one day, in tears of repentance, I found my way to Jesus, and in his great mercy, he received me to be his own. He saved me, changed me, and his Holy Spirit took over to make out of that worthless wretch one whose life would glorify God and be a blessing to a multitude. He gifted me as an evangelist and taught me his gospel, not at some college or Bible school, but right out of his word, the Bible.
And step by step he led me forth into this big world, filling my heart and mouth with the powerful gospel of Christ, preaching it in tents and over radio. He set my hand to write that gospel as he dictated his messages, and now by presses printing them in millions and speaking them on tapes, reaching out over oceans to the other side of the world, so tens of thousands can arise and thank God for what that ministry has done for them and their families. So instead of my wishing I had never been born, I just marvel at all God's grace to me, and then through me. It was the Lord Jesus who turned my night to day and made me such a blessing to others, and he can change and make you a blessing. Remember, the supreme in life is not in what you greedily get for yourself, but in living for the glory of God and being a blessing to others. Saul of Tarsus was such a worthless human. He was a murderer and brutal tormentor of Christians, but the Lord Jesus saved him and so changed him that when the news of his death spread over Europe and Asia, thousands cried. I thank God for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and for his faithful servant, Paul the Apostle. Will your death put your name where Paul's name was? Or will our Lord's words be true of you? It had been good if that man had never been born. Which will it be? Decide now. This is another message of the Holy Spirit of God to you through his bondservant, David Brinkman.